the intent of God. And if you don't know where you're going, you'll never get there. Had the Lord awakened me this morning about 1, and till after 3 o'clock, I was rehearsing about what has been taught in this meeting. And I would like for you to get some background and some biblical knowledge of what the Lord is really the intent. He has never changed. The intent of God has never changed.
Amen. That's right.
And you can come over to the New Testament, and it's the same story, but you have to understand from whence it came from.
Amen.
Now, in 1 Chronicles, there are 7 principles. I don't want to go into those principles, but it tells you there, the first thing is Issachar was the people that knew what God or Israel ought to do. Now, if you want to go back to the origin of Issachar, you have to go back to Leah gathering the mandates, and Rachel wanted them, and she swapped her husband for some, and Leah that night conceived and bore Issachar. And it was the people that knew what Israel ought to do. Rachel also became impregnated and brought forth Joseph.
Yes.
And Joseph was a dreamer and an interpreter.
Yes.
And if you want to really move with God, you've got to learn to be a dreamer. Not only to dream, but to learn the interpretation of the dream. And you get in trouble if you talk too swift and too early. Joseph was so thrilled with his dream, he had to tell his brother, and the Bible said they hated him the more. Now, in the 13th chapter of 1 Chronicles, David is about to make a great mistake. And his desire was right. But his consultants was wrong. You can have the right doctrine with the wrong terminology. And this is what's causing all the confusion in the world today. It's the wrong interpretation. And you must understand your terminology has got to be right. And if it's right, he'll bring you into the right direction. But if you look at verse 1 in the 13th chapter, and verse, listen, 13 is the number of rebellion. And listen to what David said.
And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, with every leader.
Even in this first verse, he's consulting with multitudes. His eyes on numbers. You must get the picture that I'm going to try to show you today. The church world, his eyes is on numbers. All right.
And David
now,
said,
go ahead, read.
And David said unto all the congregation of Israel.
Now, the congregation simply is referring to the church today.
If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God.
In other words, if it seems good unto you, see, and to the people and so on, well, he's trying to get them to agree with him. Now you come down to verse 4.
And all the congregation said that they would do so.
So they agreed with him. Now, the word church is not in the Old Testament. But the church was in the Old Testament. And he called different names. Congregation, the assembly, and even Israel. And many other terminologies, but we ain't going into all of that. But verse 4 tells you that all of the congregation, all the church, agreed with them because it was good to them. All right, now read that whole verse now.
And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people.
You see, just because it's right in the eyes of all the people don't mean it's right with God.
That's right.
Well,
yes, amen.
Now, if you come on down, I'll come just giving you a little preview of what's talking about. Verse 7.
And they carried the ark of God in a new cart.
See? Now, why did they do that? That's the way the Philistine. Now, the word Philistine means unsanctified.
Right.
Undedicated.
Yes.
Now, you'd be surprised what's leading the majority of the church world today is an unsanctified pattern. Now, God is interested in bringing back the anointed to the church.
Amen.
Or to the congregation. In other words, to the people.
Yes.
You are the church.
Yes.
It's not the building.
No.
Well, they did this the wrong way. They put this ark upon a new cart. How many times have you saw people miss God for something new? It's not every, it's just like the Athenians was always looking for something new. The church world is that way today. They're always looking for something new. But a scribe of the kingdom brings out treasures from the old and the new. And if it does not register in the old with the new, it's wrong. It's wrong. Now, they set the ark upon a new cart. All right, read on.
Out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart.
All right. Now, these guys was driving the cart or watching the ark on that new cart. And the old oxen stumbled. Their intention was not wrong. Their actions was not wrong. Their motive was not wrong. Their motive was to just hold the ark in place to keep it from falling. But God would not allow flesh touch the ark. And these guys was killed. God's a good God, but He's a God also that is easily angered if you miss Him. Miss the intent. Oh, glory. There's so much in this that it just, I'm trying to show you. David was trying to bring that ark to Zion. Now, Zion belonged to the Zebedites, the most wicked and vicious people that ever exist. They said to David, "You can't take Zion." And so they know David was a kind and a loving individual, so they put blind and afflicted and hot people out there in front of the battle line, and they said, "You can't take it." David, in the 12th chapter, calls his mighty men. And sent them before. And he said, "Every one of you that does go on over this people and takes this city, I'm going to reward you." Now that sounds really harsh and vicious, but it's in the plan of God. So in the 13th chapter, he's trying to bring back the ark, but he's doing it in a wrong way. He did not, search out or ask the ancient or the father ministry.
Amen.
And if he had of, he would have found out that the only way you're supposed to carry that ark is on the shoulders of the Levites. Everybody cannot handle the Word of God or the power of God. I don't care, and I'm telling you, you won't be liked if you stick with the Word. The Charismatic Renewal done a great job, and it done a damnable job. But you and I have got to come to the fact that we don't cast away the advice of the ancient. Don't cast away the voice of Ron Cody.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory.
But watch him.
Yes.
Read after him.
Yes, yes.
And find out where he's coming from.
Yes. Amen.
Now, read after me. Yes. Search after me. And see if I'm in line with the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about references or men's books, and that's great. You read them, you know, and you learn from them. But you have to go right back to the whole Word of God and weigh everything out.
Amen.
Oh, I've got to give me the privilege of sitting under some old elderly and some ministry that's introduced things. Oral Roberts, I've known him before he ever went into the healing ministry. Of course, if I go and talk to him now, he doesn't know me. No, he wouldn't even recognize me. I have preached and taught in conferences with Earl Polk, and I went into his office a few years ago. He didn't even know me. It's something about popularity that makes folks forget who they are and where they come from.
Amen.
Don't ever do that. Somebody blesses you and helps you, don't ever forget them. When I was a boy, my old uncle, my mama's brother, told me something that I've never forgotten. He said, G, they always call me G, you know, because that's is a ha for going right. You don't understand that language. I don't get a G and ha. Ha is left, G is right. That's actually what it means. But he said, G, listen to this. Don't you ever forsake old friends to make new ones. I've never forgot that. I've never will forget people that have stood by me when the ways got rough and tough and stood by me to try to make new friends. No way. Now, in this scripture, in the 15th chapter of 1 Chronicles, I'm having to skip because if I take, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, why, I'll spend all my time, never get to where I'm going.
Yeah.
15th chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles. Verse 1.
And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it.
Now, I want you to understand that you have to prepare a place before you get the ark of the covenant in. And he had to prepare this place. And the place he prepared was in the city of David. Now, Mount Zion was the highest peak, the highest mountaintop in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is always a type of the church. But there's always a people that are more spiritual than others that's in the church. You call them on the mountain. Isaiah chapter 2 tells you the house of the Lord will be established in the top of the mountain. Talking about Zion. Zion is another word for Christ. The high calling is another word for Christ. But you've got to understand that it is all referencing the anointed. Well, now, here, I want to show you something. I'll go to the book of Psalms. And in the 102nd Psalm, We're going to pin this thing down now. In the 102nd Psalm and verse 13, and 13 is a rebellion number, but this 102nd number lets you know that God is in the witnessing of something miraculous. Now read in verse 13.
Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon
first Zion. First of all, you've got to arise if you're going to come into what God does. You're going to have to get up. Well, hallelujah. Arise.
And have mercy upon Zion.
And have mercy upon Zion.
For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come.
The set time. God moves in a time element. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, if you know anything about church history, you know that when the apostles died out in the second century, things changed. And if you know anything about church history, things are changing now. But there's very few folks, there's just a remnant that is holding on to the principles that God has established from the beginning.
Amen.
Well, in Isaiah chapter 11, and that is a tremendous chapter, and verse 11, God said, I'll set my hand again the second time. That is, I'm going to show you my brother, Ron brought it out this morning about he that believeth that Christ is, or Jesus is, present tense. Now, but what people don't understand is that when Jesus was crucified, he descended. He went down to hell. And then when he ascended, before he went back to the Father, he divided his ministry. And he gave gifts unto men. Now there's a difference in the gifts of Christ and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, and the gifts of Christ is an office ministry. And the gifts of the Holy Ghost is how they function. Well, praise the Lord. And when you begin to understand this, he had to be raised up before he could give and divide his ministry into five different aspects of the office. That does not mean that that is the whole body of Christ. Your skin, 1 inch of it, has thousands of pores in that skin. And if one of those pores gets stopped up, it's a malfunction in the body. And we have so many malfunctions in the body that Christ is forming. It's not complete formed yet. But you must never forget that if you have been born again, you are in the body of Christ. And all the members will never grow up into the headship. And you might as well understand that. But we are in a period of time that everybody wants to be bigger than they are. They want to know, have more, make you think they know more than they know. And they're making a fool of themselves. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you understanding what I'm saying? There's a whole lot of folks that want to make you think they know more than they know. But let me tell you something. You'll never cease to learn. If you are open enough to learn something. And you can learn from anybody. And you can learn from everybody. Well. But he gave gifts unto men. And the next verse, verse 12, for, that's the reason that he done this, for, are you reading with me? I'm in Ephesians 4.
For the perfecting of the saints.
Perfection are the equipping of the saints.
For the work of the ministry.
Now, you cannot do the work of the ministry until you are equipped.
Amen.
Now, if you are being equipped, you have to be under.
Amen.
The only centurion that was mentioned in the Bible by name was Marcus. He's the one that had his ear cut off by Peter. And Peter was no swordsman. He was a fisherman. But he did manage to cut off, like a surgeon, the ear of Marcus. And Jesus picked it up. Probably shook the sand or dust off of it. Stuck it back on. He followed Jesus the rest of his life. Praise God. You know, there's so many questions the sister asked me this morning around the table. What about the Jews? Well, I said they were half-breeds.
Man.
They was not mentioned until you come over to the book of Kings, which they came out of Babylon, which they had married and intermingled and produced children with Babylonian women.
Man.
Now, don't misunderstand me. The Apostle Paul plainly tells you, the traditional church said, well, the Jew has to have the gospel preached to them first. Well, the same writer said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free. Now, somebody said, well, that's confusing. Only if you just take one scripture out of context. But you bring it all into oneness, you realize we're all of one blood. We all, every nationality. And so, I can't go into all this, but Israel was divided when Rehoboam, son of Solomon, began to put pressure on them and said, where my father chastised you with whips, I'm going to chastise you with scorpions. Jeroboam said to your tents, Israel, what do we have in David? Goes out to Samaria and establishes the headquarters for Israel. He got afraid that they was going to come back down to Jerusalem and worship. So he built him an altar there and made priests out of the lowest class of people. Well, is this right? You see, you can see the picture of the whole church congregation in this. So they was carried into Assyria. And the Assyrians saw that they were warriors and made them policemen. Something like America is trying to do to police the whole world. Can't do it. So I'm telling you according to the Word of God. So, and when they came out of Syria, they went into the Cascade Mountains. Yeah, the Caucasian Mountains. Okay. You don't hear Israel mentioned no more. Where did that mass of people go? What happened to them? So, traditional church said, lost tribes of Israel. God had never lost nothing. But they came out as the Sheltri people on the other side of the mountain. Now, that's where all your European countries come from. Ain't got time to go into all of that, but Manasseh and Ephraim come on up here to England. And if you know the insignia, oh, hallelujah. How many of you understand? You may never know unless you are being taught the history behind the nations of this universe. Well, where did American come from? Rebelled from England over the taxation and the persecution of religion. And I haven't got time to read you the text that the minister preached on before the Mayflower sailed, but it's here in the Bible. And when they landed at Plymouth Rock, they come out on their sand and knelt and prayed. Oh, glory. Of course, you know, I ain't got time to go into all the story, but you know, the Thanksgiving dinner, the Indians brought, taught them how to plant corn, make corn, and so on. And the whole civilization went westward. Why did it go westward? Oh, pray. Because the sun has risen in the east and it sets in the west. Now, I'd better get back to what I was going. See, I went all the way over into Hawaii. I ain't got no more land to go westward. So now, everything's turning back eastward. And if you would look in your Bible at Ezekiel 42 and 15, it tells you there that God is measuring the house within the house. My God. Then you come down to the 43rd chapter. I like this. Am I boring you or are you? In the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel, verse 1, first word in that verse, afterward. Hallelujah. After God measures you and tries you and finds you, oh my God. Go into Revelation chapter 11 and He give me a reed, a measuring reed. I want you to understand that God is still fulfilling the Old Testament in the New Testament. It starts off with a river in Genesis, ends up with a river in Revelation 22. And where did that river start from in Revelation 22? From the throne of God. And the throne of God is where Christ is sitting. Oh, He said, I've overcome the world and I've sat down in the throne of my Father. And if you'll overcome, I'll grant you to sit with me in my throne.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Amen.
Well, glory be to God. But you see, before we can get to that, we have to realize there's a set time. God's set time has come. Now, if you want some more scripture on this, this is intent, you turn to the 30th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and you can find and read, oh, glory to God, where God said, I'll heal thee. I don't remember the verse now. I shared that with you this morning. What is the 24th verse? 17th verse. Oh, glory. That's for you and I, Brother Ron. I will restore health unto you.
And I will heal thee of thy wound.
I'll heal you of your wound.
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord.
Because they call thee an outcast.
And why do they call us an outcast? Come on. We stick with the Word, and nobody wants to hear the Word, praise God, expounded with a pure motive behind it. And look at that outcast, the way it's wrote, the way it's spelled. Capital letters. All right, read on.
Saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after.
My God, nobody is seeking after the intent of God. And the intent of God is the kingdom. That's what God is after. Oh, glory to God. And when you're under the King, glory. Everything belongs to the King. You don't own nothing. It belongs to Him. Well, praise God. I ain't wanting to get in on that line. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His right standing, right relationship. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Ron brought that out this morning so beautifully. Righteousness. All right, read some more.
Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places.
Praise God.
And the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. And
out of these cities. Now, what did Jesus say in the 5th chapter of Matthew? You're a city set on a hill. Oh, glory. Now, a city does not have just one church. Now, you hear ministers today foolishly, God's given me this whole city, and their church won't seat 200 or 300. Or if it was to seat 1,000, it wouldn't hold the whole city. The pride of life. Pride of life. My God, people think they're bigger than they are. They got the pride of life in them, and it ain't the life of God. Well, praise the Lord. And every assembly should have plurality ministry. No assembly should have to go outside of the walls of that assembly to receive a pastor if the pastor, God takes them home. If the Lord takes me home, springs of life would go on just as good or maybe better without me than it would with me, because we are raising up ministry inside those four walls. And they don't all have the same ministry. And thank God they don't. They're from different backgrounds. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Bob there, he's from the Baptist background. Sammy from the Church of God. Fred from the Presbytery. James is from the Methodist. And Lamar, he don't know nothing but the kingdom. He is a baby when we first came there. Well, glory. So, see, we have different backgrounds. And it's we have perfect unity. If we don't agree, we table it. And they're not yes men. Well, glory. They don't always agree with my idea. But they have to give me scripture to prove that it was wrong. Because everybody thinks different. Oh, praise God. Don't fall out with somebody because they have a different idea than you have. Don't fall out. Keep a right relationship. Hallelujah. And somebody that don't have the right relationship or have the right method, or they do wrong, you can't break that relationship. I guess my mother prayed for my brother more than she ever prayed for any of us boys, because he was the rowdy one and in prison and so on. Well, there's always a black sheep in every family. You may not want to admit it. Well, there wasn't but just one in my family. Well, have you looked at your color? Oh, put up with my folly, like Paul said. Bear with me in my folly. But do you understand what we're saying? All right. Read some more.
And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few.
Yes.
For I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small.
Read on.
Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath done it, and until he hath performed the intents of the heart of his
just
heart.
Wait a minute.
Perform
the intent. God's never changed his mind. God is after one absolutely thing, and that is to establish a kingdom that he can walk and talk, be your God and you be his people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's the whole purpose of God. It's not to build up one minister in such a proportion. I'm telling you, neighbor, I believe with all of my heart, and I know there's been ministry that I personally know, Oral Roberts. I believe he was the apostle for the healing ministry. Brother Benny Hinn's a great individual and doing a big work, but he's trying to turn the people back 40 years. Trying to repeat what God started in Oral Roberts. And it just ain't going to work. God's through with that.
Amen.
He's still a healer.
Yes.
But he's doing it in a different way.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. God's intent is to bring saviors upon Mount Zion. He is his. He's doing it. He through a perpetual plan. Perpetual means an eternal plan. He's never going to change it. And he starts it off with Passover and then with Pentecost. And then the Feast of Tabernacle, and those three feasts consist of seven feasts. And seven is the seven spirits of God, one spirit with seven different manifestations and seven different angles, 7 days, glory to God, 7 stopping places of David. But neighbor, listen, it all's going to wind up with a kingdom, with God's people coming out of every nation under the sun, and we're going to come together in a unison. Amen. And Jesus is coming back to the earth in the flesh, just like he went away. His feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. It will split. Oh, glory to God. And the great valley, Rift Valley, well, hallelujah. And you and I have done the work that he sent us to do to establish the kingdom of God upon the earth. And he gathers that kingdom up and says, Father, here's the product that you sent me to do, and the Holy Spirit has accomplished it. I want to give it back to you. Hallelujah. And then we become one in God. And then God can send you possibly to some other nation. Oh, hallelujah. But then he'd have to strip you of your deity and let you become what they are and walk and talk and live among them. Oh, I know. Somebody said, well, brother, I never heard such as that. Well, I'm saying that it's a possibility. I was talking to a scientist one time and he said, do you believe there's life on other planets? I said, it's a possibility. But I said, what I'm interested in, God sent his son to this planet. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm still convinced of that. And whenever you and I come to be like him, and we bring the whole entire world under subjection to the Lord, and Jesus Christ gets the kingdom and presents it back to the Father, I don't know where he's going to send you or me or somebody else. Now, you say, well, that's not Scripture. Take it like you want to take it. But if Saviors come from Mount Zion, they've got something to do. Well, praise the Lord. If you'll read carefully there, it said they shall judge the Mount of Esau. Huh? Is that what it says? That they'll judge Mount of Esau? Who was Esau? Descendant of Cain. Where did Cain get his wife? Oh, historically, the tradition say he married his sister. I haven't read where Adam and Eve had girls. Have you? Hello? If you've read that, I want to know where you read it. Now, I'm not talking about some other book or something. I'm talking about the Bible. I believe with all my heart that God is doing a work, because there's two words in the Bible you can't explain. Adam and Eve replenish the earth. Noah replenished the earth. If I know anything about a word, replenish, it means to start over. Start over. Well, Brother Cody and I, a pastor that he was working with, let him borrow a book, The Curse of Cain. Huh? Yeah, The Curse of Cain. And he brought it to the house one time with him when he come to preach a meeting for me, and I began to read it. And I searched and searched, and I finally found it. Amen. And I have a copy of it, and it was one of the, I think, most fascinating books that you could read. But it don't mean you ought to preach from it.
And you don't give it to everybody.
Pardon?
You don't give it to everybody.
Oh, Lord, no. No way. But if you are interested in increasing your knowledge, then you can read that book, but be careful that you don't get up and teach it in Sunday school. But if you know the Word of God, Matthew 24, and you can't have 24 without using two numbers. Two is Christ and four is world. Well, glory. And then you cannot read the first verse without knowing that Jesus come out of the temple. He come out of organized religion. And the disciples come and wanted to show him the building of the temple. How many times have people wanted to show you what they've built? And what they have done. Jesus said to them, he said, there's not going to be one stone left upon top of another stone, but there's going to be torn down. In A.D. 70, that actually was fulfilled.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the reason it was fulfilled, they had mingled gold in the mortar, and Titus was going to get all the gold out. I'm still on Mount Zion where we are coming from. But I want to show you something. Josephus, his account of the Holy War, I would recommend that everybody read that. But be careful how you quote it. And one brother told me, he said, I don't believe in historical I said, well, do you believe in the Mayflower? Do you believe in the Plymouth Rock? Do you believe in the first American flag? Well, do you believe in the First Amendment? I mean, come on. Do you believe in Benjamin Franklin? Do you believe in what he stood for? Oh, praise God. I want you to know that history is a fact.
Yes, it is.
It may not always be the truth, but it's a fact. You see, I told a young man, he's very filling himself with a whole lot of knowledge, but knowledge is no good unless you got an outlet. You become a Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is one of the most wealthiest spots in the world, but it's dead. And the River Jordan empties millions and millions of gallons of water into that Dead Sea, and it still remains dead because it has no outlet. And it's so dead you can float on it without any effort. Oh, glory. I know. I've been there. I've been in it. And I know what I'm talking about. But God is giving us, how many of you have the right intent? You're seeing God's intention has never changed. That He has called you to fellowship His Son. And His Son, hallelujah, is the thing that's going to cause righteousness or the right standing in the universe. Well, glory. Let's follow this pattern a little more. Over in the 102nd Psalm. I ain't through with that. I just expanded on that verse 13. But now I want you to look at something. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, verse 16. When the Lord builds up Zion. Man cannot do it. Man cannot do it. It's going to take God to build up Zion. Zion is the high calling. Zion is Jesus. Zion is the high calling. Oh, glory to God. It's Christ. It's Jesus the Christ. Jesus was the Word made flesh. Christ is the anointing. Hallelujah. That makes the Word effective. And when the Lord builds up Zion,
He shall
appear
in His glory.
Now He is appearing. He's appearing right here now. He's appearing right here now. Now that does not do away with the literal coming of Jesus Christ. But He's appearing right now.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I hear preacher, you, Brother Ron Redd, if you deny that Jesus is come into flesh, you're the spirit of Antichrist. In the name of God, if you want to talk about an Antichrist for when you've got the real Christ. And they would say, the Antichrist is going to rule the world. There'll never be a world ruler until Jesus comes. And He's going to submit the world rulership to the Father. And you go right back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. It all started with Him. Where the church has made one of the biggest mistakes they've ever made was start with Adam. Instead of starting with God. You start with Adam, you're going to wind up with Adam. You start with God, you wind up with God. Hallelujah. And whenever you begin to understand what God's intent is to bring everything back to the origin that it started in. Well, hallelujah. And He's going to do that through the three feasts, the seven feasts of Israel. Oh, hallelujah. And the church, as we know it today, they don't even know nothing about the feast of God. And God said in His Word, they are perpetual. They are eternal feasts. Well, praise God. I don't want to get sidetracked no more on this, because I'm trying to lay the foundation for you. When God builds up Zion, now He tells you plainly in the Word of God, in Matthew, I will build my church. He didn't stop there. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I'm telling you, neighbor, you may get down to just two or three, but if the two or three will hold on to the principle of the Word of God, God said, we just read it in Jeremiah 30, I'll make a multitude out of you. Isaiah said, I'm going to take a little one and make thousands out of them. That's what Isaiah said. Well, glory to God. If you ever get into the prophets, but you see, people don't do that. But I have done it, and I recommend everybody to do it. If you feel God's called you to be a prophet, then you move into these prophets' books and you live in there. You share their life with them. You stay there day and night and you learn how to act like they act, what to say whenever. If you familiarize yourself with what God has called you and where He has placed you, you'll find yourself developing into a office ministry that God has set you to begin with.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Glory.
And it's not going to some Bible college. No. Get into that Word and live in that Word. Hallelujah. And don't just skip and hop, taking Scripture out of context, taking a text that don't mean one thing. Break down every verse that you come across. You won't have to have 100 scriptures. Just break it down. Hallelujah. And expound on the words that it's saying. And you'll find yourself. You may not cover but a verse or two, but you'll have more truth in it and more establishment in it than you can do by quoting 100 scriptures. I told J. Finnis Jake. He said, I know the whole Bible. I can quote it. I said, well, you might know it. You might can quote it. But you don't really know it.
Right.
He got mad. I don't care. Don't matter to me. He said, why do you say I don't know it? I said, because every time you read it, you see something different.
Yeah.
If you're open. How many of you can say that? How many of you know?
Yes,
the same scripture you read this morning, read it tomorrow, and you'll see something different in it. You get these tapes, you go to listening to them, and you'll say, I didn't hear that. And yet you sit right here. And you have to go over them and over them and over them to get it down into your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we go off on these little old tangents. Can you say amen? How many of you understand? People go off on little old tangents, you know. Oh, hallelujah. There's a difference in the word of the Lord and a prophetic word. A lot of difference. But you've got to know definitions before you can ever come into that. Well, the Lord is the one that's going to build up Zion. Then let's go down to verse 18.
It shall be written for the generation to come.
Oh, wait just a minute now. He's writing this for a generation that ain't even on the scene yet. They're not even born yet. And yet he's writing to them. Well, how can he write to something that hasn't even happened? Well, go back to Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between your seed and her seed. I'm going to put a hostility between you. But you see, there's not much hostility anymore. All denominations want to flow together. And it would be good if you could get it to that. But they may sit beside of you and they're just waiting that they can get a chance to give you their doctrine. And just coming into the same building don't mean you have unity. Praise God. I've had folks who come in 10, 15 at a time. They look good. Praise God for them. But it wouldn't be long till they'll say, you know, I think we ought to do this. And I know, and I have taught myself, and I would be agreeing with them. And I found myself out giving out pamphlets. Well, I was sitting in the car, but I was with them. And I said, I want you to take me home. I'm tired of this junk. I ain't fooling with it no more. It's the Lord that's going to build up Zion. It ain't me. It ain't you. Well, whenever they thought we wasn't going to cooperate with them, work with their program, they left. They gone. We're still there. Oh, I know, it looks like we're having a Gideon's revival, but you may not understand what that is, but that's losing the majority of folk from 32,000 down to 300. But I hear God say, Gideon, with these 300, I will deliver Israel. Hello. Glory to God. You know, we're still doing just exactly what we were doing whenever we had all them folks there. We haven't curtailed nothing. No. You see, if you don't have but a few, God has to bless the few to take care of whatever's needed. And then you have to learn to turn loose what you've got that you can receive what you don't have. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. This shall be written for the generations to come. Now listen to what he said, the rest of that verse.
And the people which shall be created.
A people which shall be created. Shall what?
Shall praise the Lord.
There has to be a creation for you to really come into praise of God, and praise will turn into worship. Worship is what He's worth to you. Worth Him. My Father. Learn the definitions of the Word of God. Now, you're not going to come into this overnight. I'm coming into things now after 60 years of full-time ministry. I'm still learning. And He's still talking to me. And He's still showing me things. And I praise Him for it. I praise Him for it. And I share with the elder body at home things that I don't preach, because there's some things you cannot preach out into the public. Amen. But they're very important. Oh, hallelujah. Well, it's the Word of God. The Word of God is public. Yes, sir. But when you go to reading in the book of Nehemiah, and find out in the Hebrew what he is really saying, good God, you have to mark it X-rated. He pulls their hair out, punches them out, curses them out, throws Sanballat out of the treasure house. He had an apartment. That's where the devil lives, in the treasure house. You've got to kick him out. Hello. Getting quiet on me now. I'd love to have an amen from the ministry anyway. It's the Word. Hallelujah. And they got a bunch of half-breeds. They cannot speak clear language. They're talking with forked tongues. Oh, they'll talk in favor with you when they're with you, and whenever they're away from you, they're cursing you. We're so prone, you know. I was raised in under a Pentecostal holiness environment. And if there's some words you wouldn't dare say, you know, like damn. What's wrong with that? It's how the relationship you use with it. Well, that's taking God's name in vain. No, it's not. No, it's not. I won't dare to put God in front of that, but I could use that and it'd be perfectly legal. Perfectly in line with God. How about tradition? Putting them two words before tradition. Is it wrong or is it right? Oh, you're getting awful quiet now. And this is not just technical. I'm talking about you got to have an inborn experience to hate tradition. I hate religion. Religion has caused all the problems of the world. And all religions want to go to heaven. And God wants to bring heaven down here. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you turn over into the book of 22nd Psalm, I've got to find a place to unplug here. I ain't going to be through with it, but I would. He tells you in that 22nd Psalm that a seed shall be accounted as a generation. Now, what seed is he talking about? The seed that he put in the woman. And the woman, in Revelation 12, was with child. That child become the man-child. And the first mention of man-child is over in 1 Samuel. When Hannah was praying for a man-child. And God was searching the whole universe to bring somebody in to replace Eli that wouldn't correct his children. And then whenever he heard her say, "Give me a man child and I'll give him back to you," God went into action. Samuel was born. Samuel means, the name means, one asked for. You asked for him, you got him. Praise God forever. Yeah, I wish you would read the first chapter of 1 Samuel, and not only just read it, but every name. Look up the meaning of every name, hallelujah, that's related unto Hannah's husband. Praise God. And then look up the name Hannah. Look up the name Peninnah. It means call, sharp, dangerous. That's exactly what these traditional churches are. Mega church, they are dangerous. They are absolutely a killing. I know. God told me, I pastored a church 20 years, built a big cathedral, and God said, "I want you to resign. They are killing your faith." And I did resign. And I moved out. I didn't know where I was going. Didn't have no money. Living in a parsonage that I'd built. And I'd come there and I'd work 20 years and turn $50,000 value into millions of dollars. About $1.5 million at that time, worth more now, but I moved out without any severance pay or anything. But when we marched out, they clapped their hands and rejoiced and shouted because we were leaving. The plan that I had set up and the plan we was operating on run out. Now they're having to have car washes, chicken suppers. They're selling the land that God give us because they've lost the vision. Don't come around here with no junk to me. We're going to hold on to God. We're going to go God's way. I started to say, use that word down. I read in the 14th chapter of Numbers where God actually was, I think, intending that. I don't give a damn what you do. I'm going to fill the earth with my glory. I'm telling you, neighbor, we've got to come to a set pattern. Well, glory be to God. Can you become Zion in this earth?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Can you become like God wants you to come?
Yes, sir.
You heard Brother Cody Calton this morning about all your enemies. The enemy of you is your mind, is your intellectual, all of your soulish realm is an alien to God. The Bible said your conversation is in heaven. He simply said your citizenship in heaven. You're supposed to walk on this earth and realize your citizenship is in another age. And if you're in another age, why are you acting like you are this world? Praise the Lord. Why are you subject to things of this world? Touch not, handle not. Well, glory to God. Come off of it. Saints, be practical with the Word of God and don't just take it out of context. Let's find out what He's talking about.
Amen.
Let's find out where we are going.
Yes.
Well, glory to God.
Amen.
Now, when we come and sum up this, we are not going to become like in the fourth chapter of Jeremiah, wild asses,
right,
sniffing at the wind.
Yes.
Now, Isaiah said, the time has come to the birth and you brought forth wind. We are living in a time that the birth of Christ, sons of God, should be coming forth.
Right.
And all we are finding is winds of doctrine over in Ephesians 4. Be not children carried about by every wind of doctrine. Neighbor, listen to me. Doctrine means teaching. You've got to understand and get settled down under the Word of God with the right intent. Oh, praise God. How many of you want to have the right intent behind the teaching you are hearing? Praise God. It doesn't matter what it is, Methodist, a Baptist, Presbyterian, Jehovah's Witness, British Israel, whatever. You're not going to box me in any of them. I'm going to walk right out and I'm going to come into the intent of God. And it doesn't matter what kind of a labor you want to put on me. I can be an outcast, but I'm still blessed of God because I'm walking in the intent of God. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I think we'll just unplug and give you opportunity to ask the questions, if you have any. And I'm sure we have created a lot of them. But don't come and ask Andrew what I meant. Ask me now if you have a question. Now, don't be like one pastor. When I left, I'd leave there, and they'd get me back. And every time I'd leave, they would say, well, now, Brother McCurry didn't mean this. If you don't know what I mean, ask me. What do you mean by what you were saying? Well, glory to God. We are kingdom folk. Amen. And don't expect us to act like another church. Don't expect us to do everything like the other church. Or we ain't going to do it. Period. Why? We are of another age.
That's right.
Oh, I thought you was new age. I am, but it's not of this world. World means age. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is one of the greatest books that ever lived, ever was written. There's more in this book than you'll ever, ever dig out. How many of you understand? You can read the first 11 verses of chapters of the book of Genesis, and you can stay in there years and years and years and years. And then when you come to the 12th chapter, divine government starts all over with a new man. Then you can read Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is the fathers of Israel. And if you'll follow them, you'll come to all the nations of the world. I mean, if you do your research, you come over to the New Testament, Lazarus is raised from the dead. He comes down to southern Spain, becomes a bishop. Mary Magdalene becomes a pastor of the church. That's where they found the shroud, according to the books of the scrolls of the dead of Red Sea. Or what was it? The books of the... Dead Sea Scrolls, yeah. Now, some of them things you'll never know. They will not tell you because they are in the archive of the Catholic Church in Rome. They are under guard. They won't tell you. In fact, the Catholic Bible is even against the doctrine of the Catholic Church. They're not following it. No more than the Protestants are following the Bible that we have. Praise the Lord. We don't have no more protesters since Luther. Well, glory to God. Well, glory. No questions. Thank you for putting up with us. And I hope we haven't wore our welcome out, or we haven't said too many things out of line with your thinking. And if I have, get your thinking straightened out. This is what's wrong. Our stinking thinking needs to be straightened out. Ah, glory to God. I love every one of you. I just praise you, brother. Since the first time we met Andrew and Grace, there was a knitting in our spirits. And I just praise the Lord for it. It's been a... How many years ago it was? It was down at the gathering of the so-called Eagles. Yeah, gathering of the Eagles. Yeah. Well, that's what it turned out to be. I mean, that's what we termed it, because it was just to build up one man's ministry. Just to build up one man's ministry. I haven't heard nothing from that man. I guess he's still working somewhere. Brother Taylor. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, he was the one that done the nice speaking. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your endurance. These seats sometimes gets a little bit hard to sit on, but if you'll stand up, we'll just rest ourselves and the pastor will come and tell you what to do.